is we're giving emphasis to missions. When you think of missions, the first thing that comes to your mind is foreign countries, strange cultures, people with, you know, maybe different races, different languages, different culture. And it's true, there is a mission field that is all over the world that's part of our responsibility. But right here in our own community, right here within our reach, there are people, and many times they are of various languages, even in our own community here. Some of them, you know, there's a culture of the world that we have to deal with as well, because people are so blinded by the philosophies of the world, aren't they? So blinded by the philosophies of the world. And those are the things we think of when we think of missions. But I want to talk about not missions, the grander, big scale as far as the world is concerned, but I want to talk about your mission, my mission, our responsibility, and what God is calling us to in our own mission. So let's read here in 1 Peter chapter 4, just a couple of verses to get started here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Well, this verse tells us what our mission is. And it closes with what our ultimate goal is, that the Lord's name be glorified. Amen. That His name is glorified, that He receives the glory. I tell you, when people come to the Lord, get saved, are born again, God gets the glory. Amen. Every sinner that comes to the Lord, it is a reminder of Jesus. The work at Calvary, the laying down of His life on the cross, so that the shedding of His blood, all that He did, that men could be saved. Every sinner that comes to the Lord glorifies God for what He did to provide salvation for everyone. Amen. But you need to understand what your mission is. You need to understand that you have a mission from God. Everyone, young people, you have a mission from God. God has called you to a particular mission. As every man has received the gift. Does it say gifts? It says the gift. As every man has received the gift. What is that gift? Well, the gift is the grace of God. It is the grace of God that brings salvation to your life. That's the gift of God. Amen. The gift is the gift of God. You have received the gift, and that gift is the gift of salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Amen. So if you're saved tonight, if you've been born again, you know in your heart that you have been born again, then you have received the gift of God that the Apostle Peter here is talking about. That wonderful gift of salvation. And we testify about it, and we talk about the day that we got saved, and that's a wonderful thing to share the testimony of the gift of God that came to your life. Salvation by grace through faith has come to every one of us. But with that gift of salvation, there is a burden of responsibility that is on our shoulders. Every one of us, we've received the gift, and as a result, we bear a burden of responsibility. And that burden is we are responsible for every one in this world. 7 million people. 7 billion people, I'm sorry. 7 billion people that live on this planet, we have a responsibility to them. Now, that's pretty overwhelming, because we know that you as an individual are not going to be able to reach the world by yourself. And that's why that we understand that we all have received the gift. If you're a Christian, you have received the gift of salvation and you have a responsibility. But then through the ministry of the church, that's what it says here, every man has received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another. What do you minister? You minister the grace of God. You minister a word of hope, a word of salvation, a word of forgiveness to the world that is in need. So our mission is really a co-mission, not commission, but a co-mission with Jesus himself. Jesus said unto them, this is John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Amen. So we have a co-mission, a same mission that Jesus had, the mission that he was sent into the world to accomplish. So do we share in that same responsibility with him? So if you're unconcerned about the lost, something's not right in your experience with the Lord. If you never talk about the Lord, if you never witness to anyone, if you never, ever take advantage of opportunities to talk to people about the Lord, then you're not on the same mission that you need to be on. Amen. And that is the co-mission with Jesus. The same mission that he was sent in the world to accomplish, you and I have the same mission, the same call, the same responsibility. Amen. So there's a big... burden of responsibility that comes with being born again. Amen. We're born again, and that's a wonderful gift. But it's never been the will of God for us just to sit back and say, oh, praise God, I'm saved, and I'm just going to enjoy it until Jesus comes. Well, there's a certain level of joy and blessing from knowing the Lord. Obviously, your life is going to be better. You're going to live a life of peace with God because you're born again, but you have a calling. You have a mission. Everyone, without exception. Without exception. How do I know you're called? Well, if you've received the grace of God, then that same gift that was given to you is now yours to dispense, to give to the world that is in need. So everyone is to be a minister. When we think of ministry, we kind of separate. We think of the few people that are maybe have a public ministry and think of that as people with a ministry, and then everybody else kind of classifies themselves as laity. We're just the members. We're not in ministry. But the church really is transformed and becomes something different and becomes something mighty when everyone, young people, middle-aged people, older people, everyone accepts the call of God upon your life. And you recognize, oh, I have a mission too. I have a ministry too. I have the call of God upon my life, and I need to fulfill that. Amen. That's what it says. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, a steward is someone who takes care of someone else's property. We've been given the gift of God. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to use the gift that he's given to you He's handed it to you, and now the question is, are you going to fulfill your mission? Are you going to be a steward? Amen. You don't deserve the grace of God. You're not worthy of the grace of God, but God has extended mercy and forgiveness to you, and so now you have a call upon your life too, and that is to be a dispenser, a person that is a steward of the manifold. The word manifold means many or multiple, various gifts that God gives to the church. We all have the gift of salvation, but then specifically we each one have gifts that have been given to us for a purpose. Amen. Praise God. All of us have our own. Yeah, we have the gift of salvation, but then there's many manifold gifts, many various gifts. The word there, manifold, it's from a Greek word that means many-colored. Many-colored. Doesn't that describe the body of Christ? The body of Christ. Not any of us are the same. None of us have the same gifts or abilities or even callings. But when we all are put together, then the church becomes a force for God, a force for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of God and the manifold gifts of God, the many colored gifts of God that God places in the body of Christ. Now, there's a lot of things that I can't do, I can't accomplish, but whenever the church is working together, we can get the job done. Amen, because you have various gifts and various abilities and various callings that God has placed upon your life that he hasn't given to me. But whenever we are working together, we're serving together, and we're ministering together, then much can be accomplished. Amen. Much can be done for the kingdom of God. So you have a part to play, and it's an important part. Amen. We are all stewards. We all have the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans that we're all debtors. We all are debtors to the Greeks, to the barbarians. That was the spectrum. The Greeks were the rich, the educated, the high society, and the barbarians. That was the lowest end of the spectrum. They were the vile and the criminal element and those that would be unlearned and uneducated, and that's the wide spectrum. We have a debt to everyone in every part of life, no matter who they might be or what status that they find themselves in this world. We are a debtor to them. Amen. We are debtors to them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you bear the responsibility of it, when you recognize the gift and the call of God that he's given to you. Amen. I recognized it in my own heart when I was just a young boy. My first time to go, the church went on a missions trip to the Indian reservation, Navajo Indians in New Mexico. And I went, as I've told this story a lot of times, I went because it sounded like a fun thing to do, like a fun trip. I was about 15, 16 years old. I really had just got saved, just received the Holy Ghost, and I went on this missions trip. And we spent a week there, and we did children's ministry in the daytime. We did visitation in the afternoon on the Indian reservation. And then at night, we had services, evangelistic services, and I came away from that experience changed. The Lord speaking to me. I didn't understand fully. I just knew that the Lord was doing something, had spoken to my heart during that time. It rang true in my spirit that this is something that I want you to be a part of, reaching the unreached, reaching those in the world that need the gospel, that are in the darkness of sin. As I was talking to the other day, Marsha and I were talking about the alcoholism and the drug abuse that's on
these reservations in our country. And even back then, this would have been in early 70s. But I remember as we were driving through that Indian reservation, both sides of the highway, the ditch line was filled with beer bottles, liquor bottles, completely full, because that was the thing that was controlling their life. There was a stronghold in that place because they were so bound by the enemy. I came away just as a young teenage boy. Something rang true in my heart. I heard the voice of the Lord. I recognized it. For a long time, I thought, well, I'm called to missions. I'm called to be a missionary, to go somewhere. But then I recognized at a certain time, in as the Lord was working in my life, that the Lord was calling me to be involved in missions through the local church and to encourage it and to somehow be a tool that God could use to encourage it in the local church. And it's always been a part of what we have done. We've always been involved in it, always been pushing it, encouraging it. And I remember Brother Robert Holmes, that's already gone to heaven, missionary to Nigeria, who talked to me at a time when I had a missions convention in Oklahoma, and there was hardly anybody that came the first year, just a small little group of people that were there. And Brother Robert Holmes came to me and he said, well, I want you to know I believe that God's going to use this. He said, just be faithful in this. Just stay at it. God will use it eventually. Just continue. And so we pressed on. We pressed on. In the last several years, we have witnessed the fruit of God working, even through our own local church right here, through you and me, God stirring the hearts of people. There have been people called to missions right here in this missionary conference. There have been people that have been so discouraged in their efforts to raise the funds to get to the mission field. But during those 3 days, they have been touched and encouraged, and God has moved for them in such wonderful ways. There have been contacts made that they have made with different ones, pastors and different missionaries that were a part of the meeting, that they have been so stirred and encouraged. And every year, we witness the hand of God. Every year. Amen. And all down through these many years, the greatest miracles that I've witnessed myself personally have been associated with the work of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I went to Romania, one of the visits, I don't remember which one it was, one of the first times that I went, I think it was somewhere around 1990, 89, 90, something like that. And I remember we went out to a village to do an outreach in a particular village. And we would rent like a community room and would conduct a service. And we would talk to people. And there was some people from one of the large churches in Timișoara, Romania, that went with us to help us with music. And the Machalara family, Sister Huff knows the Machalara family. They were some of the most talented musicians. All of them could play violins. I'm talking orchestra ability, level ability to play music. And they had a perfect tune. One of the girls who has actually played for the Austrian Symphony. I don't know where she's at now, but she has played. And one of the boys is the conductor for the Houston Philharmonic. Even now, I mean, this is the level of ability that they had. And they went out there with us, and there was a bell that was ringing in that little village. And one of those little Machalara girls, who was probably a teenager, she said, that's the key of B. That she had perfect pitch. She heard the bell ringing, and she knew what key it was. I told you that because I believe that God, He speaks to us in a lot of ways about our gifts and our callings, but one of the ways is it rings true in our spirit. It rings true. That's what happened to me on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I came home not really understanding, but something about it let me know This is what God wants you to be a part of. This is what God wants you to do. And we all have a calling. We all have a mission to perform. It's yet to be seen what would happen in a local body like ours right here if every one of us caught hold of our mission, our calling, our ministry, and we begin to harness the gifts that God has given to us, all the many colored gifts that are in the body of Christ, and it all comes together to accomplish something great and glorious for the kingdom of God. Now, if there's just a few doing it, then we're going to be greatly limited as to what we can accomplish. But if the whole body is pulling together, if we all have found our place and our calling and our gifts, and we're all working together, the manifold gifts of God will accomplish so much and will certainly bring glory to God. Amen. So serve the Lord and ask the Lord to reveal to you what your abilities and your gifts might be, and it'll ring true within your spirit. You'll know that you know that you know that God has prepared you for that particular place in the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or seriously, as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So what is Paul saying there? He's dealt to everyone the measure of faith. That is enough faith to be saved, to know the Lord. He's given to all of us the measure of faith, the ability to believe and to be saved. We all are the same. We are all equal. Amen. Amen. It's not just those that are on the pulpit, in front of everyone. And every one of us all have an important place to fulfill in the work of the Lord. And no man is to think more highly of himself than he ought to. Amen. Amen. We're all equal. Amen. As someone has said the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all come to Jesus. We're all the same. We all have received the measure of faith, and nobody's better or bigger or more important than anyone else. The body of Christ is the manifold grace of God. It is the many colored gifts that God gives to the body of Christ, and we all have our place. We all have our calling, and when we find that and we fulfill that, it brings glory to God when we come together. Amen. Praise God. You know, one of the things that really, really is hard for me to put up with is when I hear a bunch of singers singing and they're all singing. Now, I understand you do your best, and I'm not making light of that. But if people are singing and there's no harmony, if everybody's just singing the lead note and the whole group is singing the lead note, something about it, it just gets on there, and my nerves so bad. I want to hear the parts. I want to hear all the parts. That's why I appreciate about it, the choir, because they're all singing their parts. They're learning their parts. When they're all blending together, then you have a beautiful harmony, a wonderful harmony. That's the way it is in the church. When the church is functioning like the New Testament church should be functioning, then it's a harmony. Amen. We're not pulling against each other. We're not arguing with each other. And one person saying, "I'm more important than the other person. And don't think more highly than you ought to, because you're just like anybody else. You're just who you are." Amen. Brother D.C. Branham used to say, "I'm mud and you're mud and we're all mud. And who's afraid of mud?" Isn't it the truth? We're just all the same. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we're worthless. But the grace of God has been given to us, this wonderful gift of salvation. And because of what God has done in your life, then he begins to work out all these various gifts and callings in the body of Christ. And every one of us here have an ability that God has given to you, and a gift and a talent that God has given to you, and develop it and use it for the glory of God. Use it to honor the Lord. Use it to reach people. Use it to reach out to people. Amen. Let God use you. Amen. We get to thinking we're more important than someone else. If there's anything that does great damage to the kingdom of God, it's when the church gets divided and you have factions and different groups in the church, and this group thinks they're more important than the other group, or their opinions are more important than the other group. Then you have a church that's not functioning according to the plan of God. But when we're all binding together, united together in a spirit of harmony and unity, then God can do some really amazing things in the church when we're all working together and pulling together and praying together, and everyone is finding their gift and their ability, and they're using it for the glory of God. Amen. So no one is to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but he's to think soberly or seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. We're all the same. When you're saved, we're all the same. Amen. No matter what your background has been, no matter how deep in sin you've been, when you come and your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb, then you leave the past behind. You leave it all behind, and you're all forgiven, and you go forward from that place. That's what the grace of God does. And then God puts together the body of Christ. I'm quite sure that probably a lot of us would have never, ever have even known each other if it were not for the grace of God. Amen. We wouldn't have even known we existed. I know I would have never even known that London, Kentucky was on the map. I'd have never known that if it wasn't for the grace of God. We talked this morning about decisions and, oh, how crucial that they are. That one decision that I made to go to Bible college instead of going to a secular college. Nothing wrong with secular college if that's where God calls you, but I'm just saying, for the most part, listen to the voice of the Lord and obey God and do what the Lord is calling you to do. And that one decision set me in a direction. It affected everything. My life, my future, ministry, everything was affected by that one decision to try to follow the Lord, do what the Lord would have us to do. Amen. Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Don't think so highly of yourself that you can't be used of God. If you think you're too great, too good, your abilities are so great, you know, God knows how to humble you. He knows how to bring you down. He knows how to work in your life and to bring you to that place where you're absolutely dependent upon the Lord. Nobody's more important than the other. In the eyes of the Lord, we're all equals. Amen. We're all equals. We're all sinners saved by grace, and we receive the gift of God. We received forgiveness of sin and salvation. And then we're set out on a mission. We're given a mission. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're given a mission to fulfill that. Also there in Romans chapter 12. For as we have, this is verse 4, as we all have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We're all one body. We're all members. We're all interconnected. But we all are individually gifted. Amen. And when it comes together, it's a blended, beautiful harmony that God could use to bring glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Let's work together. Let's blend together. Let's get this job done that the Lord has given to us for these last days. It's a big responsibility that he's given to us. Let's do it for the glory of God, and that God can use you through your gifts. There in Romans, there in that text that I'm reading from, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, some are prophets,
or ministry, some are servants. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, some are teachers, or one that exhorteth, some are exhorters in the body of Christ. Or he that giveth, let him give, some are givers. God has given to them the gift, the ability to be a giver. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, some are rulers, let him do it with diligence. A ruler is like an organizer, a ruler, or someone has the gift of mercy. Oh, we need people around us that have the gift of mercy, don't we? Amen. We need the prophets, but we need the mercies to balance us out. Amen. The prophets, I mean, they tell us straightforward where we're wrong and where we need to change and correct. And mercy comes along, the merciful person with that gift, and balances out mercy. Amen. Praise God. So if you've got a church full of prophets and no mercies, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But you need the prophet, but you also need the mercies, and you need the givers, and you need the exhorters, and you need the teachers. You need all of these manifold gifts at work in the body of Christ so that we can accomplish our mission. And you can get your mission accomplished for the glory of God. Have you really given much thought to the fact that God's hand is upon your life and you have a calling and a mission, and it can be most productively fulfilled when you are plugged in the body of Christ, when you're plugged into the church? Amen. And then the many-colored body of Christ comes together to get so much accomplished, and it all brings glory to God. And more people can be saved. Amen. Amen. You know, when this missions conference comes around, man, it takes a lot of people to make it happen. It does. And every year, I just, when it gets here, we've done all the preparation and everything we can do. When it gets here, I feel the pressure of it, and some others do that help us carry the burden of it. But I'm telling you what, when we all get together and pull together, we can make this happen for the glory of God. We can pull together, and it can be something that makes a mark for the kingdom of God locally, regionally, and around the world. Praise God. Amen. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. Amen. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, or just like the word of God was given by God. You can speak with that same authority. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as the ability. The word literally means the force, the strength, the power of God. Let him serve with the power of God in their life, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. This month is missions month, but we can't really accomplish missions until we individually understand our mission. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have put your hand upon us individually, and then corporately as a body, you've put your hand upon our church, and we thank you for that. We know, Lord, there's a world that's lost. It seems overwhelming. The needs are so great. But I know you've called us, Lord, to be a part of it. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would use us individually and as a body, working together to bring glory to your name and to see souls brought into the kingdom of God. Lord, help everyone to understand their calling and their mission. Let it ring true in their spirit. This is what you're asking me to do. This is what you've called me to do. This is what I was born to do. Hallelujah. Praise God.